Boker Tov, and welcome to our series of the study of Daf Yomi. And today, with great excitement and anticipation, we are beginning a new Seder Nashim, and the study of one of the most challenging Masechtot in Shas Bavli, and that is Masechet Yevamot. And we'll get ourselves right into the study, but we do need several introductory moments. The first one, and it's critical here to take a look at the handout, or to open up a chumash, to Sefer Dvarim, Perek Hafei, Pasuk Hei through Pasuk Yod, which is the Parsha of Yibum. Masechet Yevamot is relatively unique in that the entire Masechet, shall we say all the major sugyot in the Masechet, revolve around the implementation of one particular Parsha. And it's the Parsha of these six Pasukim, although of course there are references all over other parts of Chumash, that help us clarify how to do them, but it's all driven here. Ki yeshvu achim yachdav. Now I'm going to translate it, but I will also give some of the main broad-based foundational traditional explanations along with the ki yeshvu achim yachdav. If brothers dwell together. So right away we're talking about a scenario where there are brothers that are alive at the same time, umet achad mehem, and one of them dies, uvein ein lo. And he has no children. Now, Bain could be interpreted as son. Here, for our purposes, it's interpreted as children, which means he has no children, no seed whatsoever. The wife of the deceased person shall not leave, shall not go out of family to a foreign man. In this case, Izar doesn't mean somebody from a different tribe or somebody from a different nation. It means somebody outside of the family. Rather, Yevamah Yavo Aleha Ulekacha Lo Liisha. Now this is very critical for us. Yevama yavo aleha, the Yavam. Who is the Yavam? And this is a word we're going to use throughout the Masechet. The Yavam is the living brother, or any of the living brothers. If he has a few brothers, they are all Yavmin. The Yavam will have relations with her, which means mid oraita, the mitzvah is directly bia, which means there is at least some sort of a notion, and this is something we're going to get into several times in the study of the Masechet. There is a notion of a pre-configured relationship between them, parallel to Kiddushin, such that all that remains is to consummate, and that is Bia. Midr Abanan, there's a mitzvah of Ma'amar that we'll get to later on. Yevamaya vo aleha, ulekacha lo li isha, he shall take her as a wife to him, ve'yibma, and he will be miyabem her. You know, liyabem is a phrase that already shows up in Bereishit Lamed Chet, in the context of the story of Yehuda and Tamar. Interested listeners can check out our the podcast series on Megillat Rut, which in Perek Dalet will go into Yibum more in the narrative sense. But here within the halachic sense, this last phrase is critical for understanding the first sugya, and that is Yevamah Yavo Aleha, the Yavam will have relations with her, Ulekacha Lo Liisha, he will take her for him as a wife, which means it precludes a wife to whom he is forbidden. Now it's critical to point out at this juncture that marrying your brother's wife is in any case forbidden. Ervat eshet achicha lo tegaleh. It is a list of one of the arayot. However, here the Torah trumps it and says that when that brother dies without children, you have a mitzvah to take her as a wife. However, that mitzvah does not trump any other limitations of relationship which are called arayot. What happens if the woman who falls to you, this woman who whose husband dies, and you have a relationship with her which is not one of Erva, but one of another sort of an Isur, we'll deal with that later on. For our first sugya, we're going to deal only with Arayot. Good. Now, Vaya b'char sh'teled yakum al shem achiv hamet, the son who is born, the firstborn son, will take the place of the dead brother. That doesn't mean that he gets his name, but rather l'nachala, as far as inheritance goes. This, of course, is the overriding theme of the last chapter of Megillat Rut. His name should not be wiped out. In other words, the deceased should be remembered. Now, if, let's say, the man does not want to take her as Yivamah, so she should go to the Shar, where the elders sit. My Yavam refuses to keep his brother's name alive. This is clearly degrading to the brother. He doesn't want to be miyabim me. The zikneiro, the zikinim will call to him and they'll speak to him. And he has to come and declare, I'm not interested in taking her. And she shall approach him in the presence of this kenim. She shall take his shoe off. And she shall spit in his face. That doesn't mean in his face, on his face. It means in front of him. And then she shall declare the following. Now this phrase is critical for us. This is what shall be done to a man who refuses to build the house, Beit Achiv. Now, that phrase Midrash Halacha switches in two directions, which seem to be opposite, but they're not. One of them is, the main drasha, Beit Achadu Boneh Ve'ino Baneh Shnei Batim, which means he only builds one house and not two. So if the brother who died had several wives, which of course, polygamy from the context both of the Tanakh and also from the context of the Gemara is certainly viable. A person dies and leaves several wives. The brother is only miyabim one wife, and when he is miyabim that one wife, all the other wives are now free to marry whoever they want to. Right? So, all of the wives of the dead husband are, the phrase that we're going to employ here, are zikukot. They are tied, they are bound to the brother or brothers that are remain alive, who were alive at the time of the brother who was the husband. In other words, if Reuven had three wives, Rachel, Leah, and Tzipporah, and Reuven was an only son, and then Reuven died, and subsequent to that his parents had another child, Shimon. Shimon is not in the story of Yibum. The minute Reuven dies, Rachel, Leah, and Tzipporah can marry whoever they want. If Reuven and Shimon are brothers, alive at the same time, and then Reuven marries Rachel, Leah, and Tzipporah, and then Reuven dies, and Shimon decides to be miyabim Rachel, then Leah and Tzipporah are now free. And he only builds one house. However, there is a flip side to that, which is, v'kachal yasel ha'isha shal livnet beit achiv, means he has to be ready to build, he has to be prepared to build his brother's entire household, even though he only has to do it with one of the wives. Meaning that if the brother's group of wives includes even one wife to whom this new living brother, this living brother, is not able to have Yibum, and we'll see examples in a moment in the Mishnah, then the whole group is now exempt. So let's say that there are two brothers, Reuven and Shimon. That's all there is. Reuven and Shimon, they grew up together, they're 1 year apart. Reuven marries Rachel, Leah, and Tzipporah, but it turns out that Leah, and we knew this from the start, that Leah was somebody who Shimon never could have married. All right? Perhaps Leah is married to Hadassah, and Hadassah and Leah are sisters. So Shimon could never marry Leah, as long as Hadassah is alive. Reuven now dies. What happens is Leah, Rachel, and Tzipporah all come before Shimon and say, be miyabim one of us, and build your brother's house. Only one. He takes a look and he says, well, Leah is forbidden to me because she is achot ishto. She is my wife's sister, so I cannot marry her. As a result of that, since he cannot build a part of the household, he cannot build any of the household, and they are all exempt, and they can marry whoever they want, and there is no need for chalitza here. Right? That's an important principle that we get from that phrase. The krash rov Yisrael beit chalutz hanal is a relatively marginal phrase within the halachic scheme of things. All right, the second thing I want to look at is the Rambam's opening piece in his Perush HaMishnayot. The Rambam is so clear and so systematized in his presentation that we'll just read it as is. It says as follows, and it's on the page. If you don't have the page, take a look in the Perush HaMishnayot, the Rambam. I'm using the Kapach translation. Of course, the Perush HaMishnayot was originally written in Arabic, and the Rambam did not translate it himself. He commissioned it to be translated, and since then, that translation has been vastly improved upon by Rabbi Yosef Kapach Zal. Akdim Kalim Masechta Zu. I'm going to preface this Masechet with several general rules. V'charka chatchil b'ferush, and then I will begin to explain it. V'yomar. Akdim asher tzarich ladat otam lifnei ha'iyun b'chol ha'chilukim. To wit, there are four general rules you need to know before you can start studying Yivamot. Number one, Ha'echad, Im meit achiv shel adam me'aviv. If your paternal brother, and that's critical, that it is only the connection of Yibum only applies between paternal brothers. Dafka, Bli Zera, and he has no seed, meaning no children, grandchildren, even illegitimate. Viniach Kama Nashim, and he has several wives around. Ein lo lachlotz oliyabem el lachat man bilvad. The living brother only does Yibum or Chalitza on one of them. Lefisha Amar Hashem, Beit Achiv. What do we just see? This is somebody who will not build Beit Achiv. Bayit Achad uboneh veino boneh shnei batim. You only build one house and not several. And once the brother does chalitza or yibum to one of these wives, who drew hashar below chalitza below yibum, the rest of them are now mutar to marry whoever they want without either chalitza or yibum. And similarly, if let's say that the brother left several brothers, and he has several brothers and one wife or several wives. And only one brother does Yibum on only one of the wives. So in other words, let's say that you have Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda, to take an example. Reuven dies, only one of Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda, and we will find out later in the Masechet who gets the first call, as it were, is presented with the option of Yibum or Chalitza. Actually, he's first presented with the option of Yibum. If he does Yibum on one of the wives, let's say on Rachel, and all the other brothers' obligation is gone, and all the other wives are free. Only one Yibum, one brother to one wife. That's rule number one. Vaklal Hashini, second rule. Imeta ach viniach isha vaita ota isha asura alachiv. Let's say that Reuven died, a brother died, and he left a wife, and that wife was prohibited to the living brother. Olachar achim, amuamadim lachalitzo liyibum, or prohibited to one of the brothers. Imet vahiniach achim rabim. Let's say he left a lot of brothers. Let's say a man married his niece. Perfectly legitimate. A man marries his niece. Nahor married his niece. Avram married his niece. Right? Man marries his niece. Then when the husband dies, this niece is now, who is also the sister-in-law of her father, now essentially becomes a shomeret yavam to her father. He can't marry his own daughter, clearly. That brother certainly cannot do Yibum. She has Surala Mishum Erba because she's otherwise prohibited to him. Now here's the source of the entire piece. The text tells us in the context of Arayot that a man is not allowed to marry a woman and her sister. Litzor Ligalot Ervata Aleha. And the text also says, of course, in our parsha, Yivamai Yavo Aleha, what is that? Ki ilu amar, ze shamarti Yavo Aleha, imaita achot ishto lo tikach litzror. There is the phrase Aleha, which is in the context of a wife's sister, is an analogized by way of Gzera Shava to Yivamai Yavo Aleha. And therefore, it's as if Yivamai Yavo Aleha, he can have relations with somebody that there is no limitation of aleha, which is a limitation that we read about in the context of a wife's sister. And therefore the Rambam reads it as follows. U'chi'ilu amar, it's as if the Torah said, Zeh she'amarti yavo aleha, when I told you that the Yavam has to marry the Yavamam, imata achot ishto lo tikach litzror. If she is his wife's sister, then don't take them in order to tie them together. In other words, to create sarot. We'll talk about Sarot momentarily. And that is the building block. From Achot Isha is what we call a Binyan Av. From there we learn all of the other Arayot. Meaning that if the Yavam is related to the woman who falls before him, or to one of the wives of the dead brother, then he does not do Yibum, and Chalitza is exempt also. V'klal ha'shlishi, third rule. Im meit achiv iniach kam anashim v'achat mi anerva al ha'ach ha'chai. Be'ofen she'no yechol liyabem ota ha'asura. Let's say that situation happens where there's two brothers and the brother dies and the one of the wives is prohibited to the living brother. Kach lo yabem shart saroteha. That means he also doesn't do yibum on any of the other wives, even though he has no relationship with them. So let's say that we have Reuven and Shimon. Shimon's daughter is Tzipora. So Reuven marries Tzipora, his niece. He also marries Rachel and Leah. Reuven dies. So Tzipora, Shimon's daughter, and Rachel and Leah, no relations to Shimon, except former sisters-in-law, fall before Shimon. That's the phrasing we use. No float the farav. They fall before him for Yibum. Shimon does not do Yibum Mechalitz on any of them. Right? Lo Yabem Shar Tzarotel, Lo Amro Yitaleh, where do we get this? Yivne Beit Achiv. This is what we mentioned in the text. Uvaba Kabbalah, what's the traditional explanation? Bayit Shubonet Kulo Bonem Iktzato. Only a house that he could build any part of it, he builds one part of it. Bayit Sheino Bonet Kulo, any house that he cannot build every part of it, Eino Bonet Miktzato. Meaning, if there is one wife among the group to whom he is prohibited, then the whole group is prohibited to him. But Klal Arvi, fourth rule, Shekol Shefsharti Davei Midoraita, he's Kukala Chalitza. Anyone who Midoraita could have Yibum needs Chalitza to be free. So let's say these cases where a man's daughter falls to him for Yibum, or his wife's sister. Then she also doesn't need Chalitza. She's totally exempt. She says, when does Chalitza happen? When she says, he refuses to be Miyabim me. Meaning, only somebody who could do Yibum has Chalitza. Good. Okay, one last thing that I had here from the Rambam's introduction to the Halachot is just some phraseology. And there are several phrases or terms that we're going to deal with that we're going to use a lot, so it's a good point to introduce them. And that is, one of them is the Yavam. The Yavam is, any one of the living brothers is called the Yavam. The Yivama, or more properly, the Shomeret Yavam, is the wife or any of the wives of the man who died without children. Erva is a technical term which refers to women with whom there is consanguinity in one form or another, such that not only is there a prohibition to marry, but marriage doesn't even take hold. There are some cases where there's a prohibition to marry, such as Kohen Do Grusha, etc., but if they violate it, the marriage holds. Arayot are situations where the marriage does not even hold, and consistently, there is a much more severe consequence for violating that. Another word that we're going to run into, and we've already seen, is zika. Zika is a bond. And zikuka is a woman who is bound. In other words, she is connected already. Zikuka liyibum is the proper term. So the Rambam mentions this here. Haishashi ruyali yibum nikret zikuka layavam. A woman who could get yibum is called zikuka. And therefore, that relationship is called zika. This is a phrase that we will use. We will explain a lot more things along the way, but in the meantime, let's get started with the Mishnah. The Mishnah says the following: Chamesh esrei nashim potrot tzaroteyan, v'tzarot tzaroteyan min ha-chalitza u'min ha-yibum ad sof ha-olam. So there are 15 relationships, in other words, 15 women who exempt their tsarot. Now, a tsara is a sister wife. In other words, Rachel and Leah were tsarot to each other. And that's learned from the pasuk, Yishai alachotah lo tikach litzror. Right, that's the phrase. So, these women exempt their tsarot, vitzarot tsarotan, and their tsarot's tsarot. And we'll see how that plays out in the end of the Mishnah. Mina chalitza mina yibum, they exempt them both from chalitza and yibum, ad sof ha'olam. What does that mean, ad sof ha'olam? We'll see. The Elohim, who are they? So I've listed it on the page, but we're going to play it through and explain each case. Bito, how could your daughter fall to you for Yibum? So I already gave the example. Reuven and Shimon are brothers. Shimon marries Reuven. Reuven marries Shimon's daughter. Reuven dies. Shimon's daughter falls to him. So not only is there no Yibum here and no need for Chalitza, because he could not in any case marry his daughter, but if Reuven had two other wives, they're also Patur. Uvat bito, uvat beno. And now we just simply go to grandchildren. So let's say that Reuven married Shimon's granddaughter. Then in that case, Reuven marries Shimon's granddaughter, either from Shimon's son or from Shimon's daughter. In any case, Shimon cannot have relations with his own granddaughter. And therefore, again, the whole group is exempt. So those three are one group, and that is the group of children. Bat yishto uvat bina uvat bita. The next three are all in similar in that they are his wife's daughter. So let's say that Reuven, Shimon is married to Esther, and Reuven married Esther's daughter, which is perfectly legitimate. Now Esther had a daughter from beforehand, And so Reuven marries Esther's daughter, and now Reuven dies. So Esther's daughter and some other women fall to Shimon. He can't marry Esther's daughter because Bat Ishto is Asur. Isha Uvita. And the same is true to a generation down. Bat Bita Uvat Benah. Good. So now those six are all similar. Now, Chamoto, Ve'em Chamoto, Ve'em Chamiv are simply the same thing moved up. A man cannot marry a woman and her mother. The same thing as a woman and her daughter. Which means that once a man has married a woman, the mother, meaning the mother-in-law, was always asur to him. Eim chamoto and eim chamiv is just the grandmothers of his wife. It's the same situation. They could be married to Reuven, and when they fall to Shimon, they are exempt, and the whole group of wives is exempt. Achoto me'imo means that the man has a half-sister, as it were, from his mother. He also, remember, has a brother, but the brother, as we saw before, has got to be a paternal brother for Yibum to apply. So he's got a half-brother from his father, who has died, who had originally married, before he died, he had married this fellow's sister from his mother, which means the fellow, had the original guy, Reuven, and Shimon are paternal brothers. And Shimon has a maternal sister, Hadassah. So Hadassah can marry Reuven. But Reuven dies and Hadassah falls to Shimon. Hadassah and Shimon are brother and sister. They can't get married. Achot imo means his mother's sister, which is Dodato, his aunt. He certainly can't. Reuven certainly could have married her if it's not Reuven's aunt. Again, Shimon and Reuven don't share the same mother. Reuven could have married his Shimon's mother's sister. Vachot ishto. And Achot Ishto means that Reuven and Shimon essentially married two sisters. So now when Reuven dies, his sister-in-law falls to him, that he can't marry. Eshet Achiv Me'imo. Eshet Achiv Me'imo means that you have a maternal brother, his wife. So you had a maternal brother, he married a woman, he died. That woman then married Reuven, who is your paternal brother. That is perfectly legitimate. And now she falls before you. She was originally married to your maternal brother. Therefore, that's Eshet Achiv. Ve'eshet Achiv shelo haya ba'olamo. That's what I said at the very beginning. The wife of your brother who was not in the same world as you. Meaning that if Reuven died before Shimon was born, and then Shimon was born, and they waited around for a bunch of years, the scene at the beginning of Megillat Rut, that Naomi sort of suggests as a ludicrous possibility, then Shimon does not do Yibum, and Reuven's wife simply retains the status of Eshet Achi, which is Asur. And the last one is Kalato, his daughter-in-law. In other words, a man's son married a girl, the son died, the girl then marries Reuven, which is perfectly legitimate, and then the Reuven dies, and she now falls, her former daughter-in-law falls to him, same thing. That's the 15. You will see in the next Mishnah, which we'll get to in a long time, that there is even a more severe category, and perhaps the attentive listener might have picked up, so something that we skipped. So it repeats that line. Now, Chulan, here's the rule. Imetu, let's say that the girls, the problematic girl in the group, died. Omianu, Miun, we'll explain in a minute. Onit Garshu. Miun is a subset, sort of Gerushin. They were divorced. Oshin Tsu'ailunit. So if it turns out, after a certain amount of years, that this woman is sterile in such a way that the original marriage was not really a marriage, then Sarotehan Mutarot. Then he can perform Yibum on the Tsarot. In other words, let's say that Reuven married Shimon's daughter. And then Shimon's daughter died. Or Reuven divorced Shimon's daughter. Reuven had three other wives. He divorced Shimon's daughter, and then Reuven died. Then we don't say that the fact that at some point in time Shimon's daughter was in the mix makes the whole thing exempt. That's not the case. Now, what's Miun? Let's clarify. The Torah recognizes the rights of the father, although Chazal severely limited and chastised somebody who acts on this, but recognizes the rights of the father to be Mekadesh and marry off his junior daughter, his minor daughter, and those kiddushin are d'oraita, and if the marriage doesn't work out, you need a get. However, many times in history, it was necessary for girls to get married at a young age, and if the father was not alive, the Rabbanim established a form of Kiddushin, which are called Kiddushin Miyun. They're a form of Kiddushin de Rabbanim so that the mother or the brothers can marry the girl off to make sure that she's not in some protected environment. However, because these Kiddushin are in de Rabbanim, we have an easy fix, which is that the girl at the age of 12 can just say, I'm not interested in this, and walk out. And that's all. That's what she can do. That's called Miyun. So let's say that this girl, the girl who's a problem, obviously it wouldn't be his own daughter, but somebody else who was a problematic relationship, was married off by the mother, the father wasn't alive, and she walked out before Reuven died, or Reuven divorced her, or she herself died first, or else, turns out she was an ilonit, which would mean that the marriage was really ab initio, never valid, then in that case, the rest of the tzarot are regular, and we don't apply the exemption of her presence. Her presence doesn't count. Now, parenthetically, we say, v'iyatai achol amar b'chamoto, v'eim chamoto, v'eim chamiv, shnimitzu ilonit oshimeyanu. Three of our 15 women, you cannot use the phrase that they turned out to be an ilonit or they did miyun. And the reason for that is, we're talking about mother-in-law or grandmother-in-law on either side. Because clearly, they could not be an ilonit because they gave birth to either your wife or to the mother-in-law or father-in-law. And you can't say miyun because that if a woman is that old, then miyun doesn't apply. Miyun only applies until the age of 12 or so. Good. Now the next piece here builds up on what we said in the first Mishnah. Ketzad potrot tzarotayan. How do they exempt their tzarot? It's very simple. Haitavito achat mikol arayot ha'eluf, the daughter or any one of these on the list, nisuali achiv. Let's say she was married. So Shimon's daughter is married to Reuven. Velo isha achert. Reuven has another daughter, another wife. So Shimon has a daughter, Hadassah. So Reuven is married to Hadassah, and he's also married to Esther. Vameit, and Reuven dies. Keshem shvito p'tura, just like Hadassah is exempt, because Hadassah is Shimon's daughter, kach tzarata p'tura, similarly, Esther is exempt. Halchat tzarat p'to. So now let's say Esther, who has no relation to Shimon, went, v'nisei l'chavashini, she went and married Levi, which is fine. Levi did Yibum on Esther. V'lo isha acheret, and Levi also has Shoshana. Vameit. All right, so let's remember. Reuven is married to Hadassah, Bat Shimon, and Esther, an outsider. Reuven died. Hadassah cannot marry Shimon, because she's a daughter, so therefore Hadassah and Esther are exempt. But let's say there's another brother in the mix, Levi. So Levi does Yibum, let's say, on Esther. And Levi also has another wife, Shoshana. Vameit, and Levi dies. Hashem, now they all fall to Shimon again. Now, who's falling to Shimon? Esther, who was never related to Shimon, and Shoshana, who was never related to Shimon. Kashem tzarat bito p'tura. Just like Esther is exempt because she's tzarat bito, because she was married originally when she fell to Shimon the first time. She was a sister wife with Shimon's daughter. Kach tzarat tzarat p'tura. Similarly, even Shoshana is exempt because she's the tzara of Esther, who is the tzara of his daughter. Afilu hei mea. And this could continue 100 times theoretically. And it would still hold. Now, Ketzadim Meitu Tzarotan Mitzarot, how does this play out that if they died, the Tzarot can marry? Haitavito Achat Mikol Arayot Ha'ilun Nesu'al Achiv. So, Shimon's daughter is married to Reuven. V'lo Isha Acheret. Again, Shimon has Hadassah. Reuven has Hadassah, Shimon's daughter, and Esther, another woman. Meita Vito. And let's say Hadassah died before Reuven. Onit Garsha. Reuven divorced her. V'charkach Meit Achiv. And then Reuven died. Tzaratam Muteret. Esther can now marry Shimon, can now do Yibum with Shimon. But any girl who was of age to do Miyun and didn't do Miyun, so what do we do? Let's say that an Erva, it couldn't be the daughter, but an Erva had married Reuven, that was perfectly legitimate, and she was 10 years old at the time. When Reuven died, Reuven has two wives. So the girl herself, let's say that the girl got to the age of 14 and never did Yimiyun, but the Kiddushim were Kiddushim Durabanan, then she falls to Shimon, she can't marry Shimon. But her Tzara is not so much off the hook, because it's not so clear that her Kiddushim were so valid as to exempt the Tzara. So therefore the Tzara does Chalitza, but not Yibum, to cover the bases. That covers the first Mishnah, which covers pretty much the first Daf. And Mirza Shab, we will continue on after Shabbat. podcasting our way through the first parak of Masechet Yevamot. Everyone should have a wonderful Shabbat.